We are ready to go with another off-air podcast of The Morning After. Hi, it's Eric Chase. These don't go on the air at all, so we get plenty of time to talk. And actually, I'm excited. This one went longer than I expected. She is one of the most well-connected people in our community and entirely, I don't know if there's a bigger advocate for our community and Toledo than who we're going to talk to. We met a couple of years ago, and we don't get to hang out enough. There are a lot of local shout-outs of names or people that you may have heard of, politicians or business owners that are going to be included in this podcast. So we'll get going, and I hope you enjoy the next 40 minutes or so. But first, the intro song. Welcome in to another edition of an off-air podcast here on The Morning After. It's Eric Chase, and let me introduce to you a friend of mine. She's practically a relative. I call her mom, and sometimes it bothers her. She is one of the most community-connected people that I've ever met in my time in Toledo. I will put my hands together for the wonderful Candace Harrison. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
What did I ruin by having you come in on your Saturday morning? Do you have anything going on?
Not right now, no. I am spent a lot of night awake because I have some sort of issue going on. I don't know if it's toothache or TMJ or whatever, but I have a dental appointment on Monday. So other than that, I didn't get much sleep. I don't have anything until around noon.
You're a pretty fearless woman. Are you scared of the dentist?
No, well, you know what? I'm not afraid of the dentist because I go, you know, regularly and get
right.
The appointments that I need and things like that. What I'm afraid of are the needles that they use when you go there.
They're big.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they help, like, they numb you and take the pain away.
Mm-hmm. And if you just don't look at it, which is impossible, but that's
right.
The only thing I don't like.
Here,
but I also don't like problems. So
right.
I would much rather go regularly and deal with what I have to deal with than to end up with more problems.
Right, exactly. I'll get you ready for it. Just a little pinch. You might feel a little pinch right there.
Right, you know.
Ow! It feels like I got punched in the mouth. So let me explain how Candace and I came to meet. It was a couple of years ago. There's a summer block party that happens every year at the Toledo Museum of Art. And I had an event out there, and this woman came over after I was talking to her very attractive coworker. Her name is Aaliyah. Hey, baby. Hi.
Hi, Aaliyah.
She came over. She was with a man and a young man who had an incredible set of footwear on. I think there's actually some Jordans dropping right now. And we got to talking, and that was Candace. And then we caught up as I was looking for some work the next summer. I'd gone to the same block party. I'm like, I'll go talk to Candace and maybe, you know, see if I can help out the art museum.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't there. But then a couple weeks later, there was a rooftop party at the library. And you're like, hey, do you remember me from the art museum? Like, there was like 1,000 people there. And then you said, Candace. I was like, here we are.
See, your memory is really good.
It is when I want to remember things. I'm sure I have moments like your son has where you've told him things thousands of times
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't remember.
Still, yeah.
man, well, we had lunch and you told me about like all the things that you're connected to in the community. And I see you post about all the stuff all the time on social. And I mostly wanted to talk to you about how all the things that you do and how you find the time to do all this as somebody who works. And I know your son's away now at school, but
mm-hmm.
like.
And then I still have a daughter who is not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have Brooklyn.
Does she have Jordans?
Brooklyn does have Jordans. She has okay. 2 pairs of Jordans.
All right, then I care now.
Yeah.
Then I care. It's all about the shoes.
Yeah, Brooklyn is 9, and she's not. I don't put her on social media as much as I used to because before I could just take her pictures and put them up there. And
right.
now she has like an opinion. So now she's either does or doesn't want me to share a picture. And
right.
so I respect that. And so fair enough if you don't want to be on there. Sometimes I sneak them on anyway, like first day of school, some of our Christmas pictures. Now, if you are on Snap, she's definitely always on my Snapchat. And I think it's because of filters. She really likes the filters. Balance is important and making sure that I don't commit to stuff that I don't care about.
What are you, like, what's top of mind for you? Like, I'm working on some stuff for the NAMI Walk and Toledo Soup. We're getting ready for the spring one. What are you, what's big on your radar right now?
What's big on my radar right now is Leadership Toledo, because Restaurant Week is getting ready to come up, and then the kickoff is next week. But African-American Leadership Council, I would say, is the organization, and they're African-American Leadership Council of United Way. For that organization, I'm the co-chair along with a gentleman named Craig Teamer. And it's basically is to ensure that the needs are met, basic needs are met of the African-American community in the areas of education, income, and health. So it's an affinity group through United Way, but it's very targeted to make sure that the African-American community has access. So it's not doing anything that the other affinity groups aren't doing, like Women's Initiative and Emerging Leaders. It's just focused on the African-American community.
What do you do as the co-chair, and then how can people get involved with that?
So as the co-chair, we kind of, and they're moving now to a chair, vice chair kind of situation, but right now we still have the co-chair roles, and we just kind of direct, like, to make sure that we're always on mission, that we are always putting our mission first and thinking of what our community needs. And then we have, like, different committees that do things. So, like, leadership development, we have a series called Lunch with Leaders. And it's basically where we bring different people from different industries of the community, depending on what the topic is, through a luncheon, and they either do a panel discussion, or there's some sort of, you know, there could be panel, there could be just a single presentation, then at the end a Q&A, and it's always just about an hour or so, networking with other people in the community and then hearing a presentation. So that's part of that. We have an annual conference. 1 year is kind of just like a more of like a plenary session with just one speaker, and then the opposite year there's a full day conference.
Can you give me like a success story recently that you guys are super proud of, someone that's maybe come through the program and is now flourishing?
Well, it's not really a program as much as it is a group of people that are trying to drive work.
Gotcha.
So, but what I will tell you, two things. We had a really successful conference, and we had author activist Kevin Powell. I don't know, you may be familiar with him being in radio. He actually was on the very first, like the very first season of The Real World. That's where people would originally know him from. He also wrote the very last printed article that Tupac ever did. So if you saw the Tupac movie, there was actually a character based on him that Hill Harper played. Yeah. And he wrote that for Vibe magazine. Okay. And then now he's an activist, and he an author, and just kind of a scholar on different issues relative to social justice. And he did a presentation for us at our conference, which was sold out. Then we have a program called Real Men Ready, which is is different for us. It's different in that this is a program that we initiated. It started actually by a woman named Rhonda Sewell, who you probably know her too.
Nope, I don't.
Oh.
Who is she?
Rhonda is the manager of governmental affairs and advocacy, I believe, at the library system. And she was aware of a similar program in another city, and it was kind of tailored to fit our community, where basically African-American male readers from all different industries, firefighters, business leaders, pastors, what have you, go into a school setting, and they sit down with the African-American male. It starts in the kindergarten, but then now we've gotten to first grade students, and they read with them once a week for an hour, and it inspires, like, the love of reading and also mentorship at the same time.
Awesome.
The partnership is with Read for Literacy, who kind of teaches the model of how to read to them. So it's not just like random. And the books are also culturally sensitive. So they're cultural books where, you know, in years past, you have an African-American student pick up a book and they don't see themselves in the book. So that's that. Now, success in that is really cute. One young man who had a reader, Craig, our co-chair, Craig would come from work because it's during the day, and he would always be dressed up, shirt and tie. So the friend, the student at the school, started to wear a shirt and tie on the days that he was going to get read to.
Oh, I like that.
He was impacting him, and he didn't even realize it. So it's pretty cool.
And by the way, if you might have missed it, if we got started here with my friend Candace Harrison, This isn't even your job. We're not talking about your job.
No.
What's tell me about Leadership Toledo. Do you work with them? Is it a volunteer thing?
I'm a volunteer. I'm on their board of trustees. Okay. So this is my, I think this is my fourth year being on the, I went through the program in 2013.
Okay.
Graduated out. Many people in Toledo have gone through Leadership Toledo, and I came back as a board of trustee member, and I've done many things on there, you know, different committees and things like that. But Restaurant Week is the biggest fundraiser.
Coming
well,
up.
The breakfast actually is the biggest fundraiser, but Restaurant Week is another fundraiser.
What's the breakfast?
The Leadership Toledo annual breakfast. It used to be, it's been in October for the last couple of years. I can't even remember when it used to be. See, that's when my brain starts getting old.
No.
But it's in October. It's a free breakfast, but it's a fundraiser breakfast. So it's networking, a breakfast, and then there's a presentation and then a formal ask. And that's one of the places that Leadership Toledo raises money.
Gotcha.
And so the Restaurant Week idea came along, and that became another fundraiser. And this year, you know, there's restaurants. You can go to RestaurantWeekToledo.com to see all of the restaurants that are participating, what kinds of food they serve, if it's just breakfast, if it's just coffee, if it's dinner, whatever it is. They'll have their menus up there. And the kickoff is Thursday. So that's how come that's top of mind right now.
I see Sam Meldon a lot.
Now, he is an employee.
Yes, for Leadership Toledo. Mm-hmm. He ran for city council, and Nick Comives beat the crap out of him in the race. So Sam is just back to, there's only one of him. I used to joke with Sam during the campaign. There was like, he cloned himself. There was nine of him.
Because he's pretty connected.
He is. Sam is very connected. And I've seen Sam a bunch over the last couple of weeks because he met with some old friends of mine talking about getting Restaurant Week. And I know he's a big part of that. And it's been fun to watch that grow over the years. And he had mentioned to me that it was kind of nice where they had to limit it this year. And so many places were coming to them. So it's been a great thing. Like many things in Toledo, the arrow for that is going up. Mm-hmm. What places, let's talk food. What places, whether part of Restaurant Week or not, do you like to eat, to go out to eat at with the mister, with Mr. H?
Well, it depends. If lunchtime, we definitely like Adam Street Cafe. We go there quite a bit. We like the cafe at the Oliver House, you know, during lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter drives a lot of where we eat at for dinner because she's extremely picky. But we do most of our dining and things like that downtown.
Okay.
We try to eat local places. She is a big fan of Frickers.
Okay.
So we go there a lot. But she also loves Chipotle and Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
So those are her two places. But my husband and I, We just like to try new things. So I guess we don't have one particular place that we just love to go to. We like to try different places. But the best place I've been in quite some time to eat is the Chop House. The Chop House is a great experience.
I've not been, and I was looking for a Valentine's Day place last week. And considering my current employment situation, I was like, we'll do Chop House or like... Because I like Final Cut a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where else did I go? I've never been to Rockwell's.
Oh, Rockwell's is really good.
I always go to the Oliver House, but I never go to Rockwell's. And then I saw Chop House. I'm like, we'll do $50 steak when things are a little more straight. But I love that we have these places now. It's not downtown, but I want to try the Benchmark.
Oh, yeah. And somebody else just told me about that. And I saw some people, like different people checking in there. And I'm trying to keep up a little bit better on the new things that are coming out because of my blog. And so.
What?
I got a blog. You've seen it, haven't you?
No.
Oh, well, yes, I have that too. But that's like a hobby. It's a hobby in that it's giving me something to do that I want to do, that I like to do.
In all the free time that you have?
Yeah, but I do. I make free time. People really believe I don't have free time. But what I'm really committed in my life to do is that if there are professional commitments, like PRSA, press club, those are things that are relative to my profession. So those are things that I have to do, but I'm committed to only working on those during my professional time. Any other organizations that I do, if we don't meet during lunch or at breakfast, then I say, okay, I'm only going to work on this on Tuesdays. And I just commit to that. Because, like I said, I have a 9-year-old. And when my son was growing up, he was 9 years old before I had another child.
Okay.
So I was always very present. And so that's important. I was raised by my grandparents who were retired and they were present. So I want to be the same kind of parent. So that's first and foremost.
Tell, what's the blog?
So the blog is called Candy Culture. Oh. Candied. C-A-N-D-I-E-D.
That's because when I was talking to Aaliyah yesterday, and I said, guess who's going to be on my podcast?
And she said, is she talking about her blog?
Well, she said, Candied Culture. I was like, yeah, because that's your Instagram name, right?
One of my Instagrams for the blog is that.
Okay.
My personal Instagram is different.
So in the free time that you've found to carve out, and again, this is my friend Candace Harrison, and we have not talked about what she does from 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 every day. This is all the volunteer stuff. What do you write about on the blog?
So for the most part, I started writing like around Thanksgiving. Because that was one of my 2017, like going into 2016, going into 2017, is that I was going to launch that. Because I love to write. I write a lot for my career, but I'm always writing about organizational things. Mm-hmm. I'm never writing about the things that I like. And I kind of looked at a lot of people that I know will call me and say, hey, you and your husband always finding cool places. We want to go somewhere for dinner. Like you, where should we go for Valentine's Day? Or where have you been lately? And because we do, as a married couple, make time to hang out with each other. We still date. That's important.
Each other.
Yeah.
Not other people.
Not other people.
Not like that.
No. Not other people. No. I was just thinking about that. Like, yeah, no. No, we don't do that. But we date because that's how you stay married. Mm-hmm. You pay attention to each other and you do the things that you did. And obviously, it's not as often. His mm-hmm. job, he's second shift, my job. You know, kids,
right.
stuff, and so babysitters, all of that. And that really changed when my son went away to school because we had an in-house babysitter. We could do what we wanted, but now it's not like that.
We'll get to that. So is it candyculture.com?
So, yes, it's a website that is candyedculture.com, but then I'm also on Instagram, and I have a Facebook profile also. And I talk about just, like, the local things to do, things that I hear about that I would recommend to do. And there's also a couple of different, now I'm going to introduce like people that I've met that I want to talk about because I want it to be like people, places, and things in the mm-hmm. community. And I don't want it to be the obvious people. It's a lot of people in the community doing great work that are not as in the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not running organizations, but they're influencing the way organizations behave. So
do you know Haley Taylor?
I do.
No.
Well, no, let me take it back. I don't know her, but I know exactly who she is because I listen to the Rough Draft Diaries.
Sam told me about Haley's podcast, and I'd be lying if doing what I do like after the show on Saturdays, mm-hmm. like as we're doing right now, mm-hmm. wasn't somewhat modeled after what Haley does. Haley does Rough Draft Diaries,
mm-hmm.
And then she talks to a person in the community who has some kind of influence or she'd like to highlight, and then she asks that person to suggest other people like that, and she goes to talk to them. And, you know, I would be not doing my job if I couldn't bring people like you on who deserve a platform to talk about things.
Thank you.
It was funny. Michael Shever, who was the last winner of Toledo Soup, he does organic greenhouse herbs. He's Herbaceous LTD.
Oh, I have heard. I think I follow that person on Instagram.
He's great, and he's going to be a millionaire because he has all these restaurants coming to him now to get the fresh, organic, local herbs. It's funny. I said, let's do a podcast. Let's talk. Because he also, he's a former stuntman. He's done everything.
That's fun.
He actually called me. He's like, hey, I'm here. I'm like, no, I meant next Saturday. Kansas is coming too. So, but I like to have people like you and what Haley does and what you're talking about, not just places, but people as mm-hmm. well, because we have, it's part of the reason that I intend to stay here and I will do everything I can because people might think of Toledo, even if you just live here and go, this is kind of a boring place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you peel back the layers, we have some great places to eat. The shopping is a little lax, but we can, you know, dart to Columbus or Detroit.
I was going to say we're close enough to places that you can get that. And, you know, the thing is, organizations, so it's good to talk about places because for me anyway, I always want to share. I have like, I feel like a multicultural network of people.
You do.
Which I'm very grateful for. You know, I'm very, just as much, you know, I graduated from Central Catholic. So I have a lot of, you know, conservative people that I'm friends with that I've grown up with and I've known, you know, 30 plus years. And then I have a lot of liberal friends. I have friends of all races and ethnicities, and I love that. But I do see a lot of people just kind of bash Toledo, and we're here. You know, I'm not leaving. And so there are things, we're in a Renaissance period, and I just want people to be as excited as I am. And sometimes, you know, larger I guess media will cover the big grand things that are going on. So you see all that, but little coffee shops opening up, and I don't want to say little to, you know, downplay its existence, but I mean in the sense that it's a small place. Because, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when you be like a little something, it's like little shade there because mm-hmm. you're trying to, you know, kind of demean it. So no, that's not what I mean. But like coffee shops popping up, new restaurants, and fun things that are the reasons why we like those bigger cities. And then who are the people that are responsible for making sure that those things are open or staying open? Who's going there? Who's eating there? Those are the important things because that's how the city remains vibrant. I'm from here, so I remember when downtown was vibrant, and then I remember when it fell off, and that's why I'm very proud to see it come back.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about your old employer a little bit? Just a little bit, because they announced an initiative mm-hmm. with some details which had been lurking. I remember it was like maybe a year or so ago. There's a story about Candace used to work at the Toledo Museum of Art. Again, if you're just tuning in or the podcast or you missed that, that's how we met. That they were going to buy the apartments across the street. And they floated that out there. But now mm-hmm. there's kind of like a bigger initiative with ProMedica to transform. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the word a couple of minutes ago, renaissance. We're like, mm-hmm. that might actually, at some point, it's the old West End now, mm-hmm. but certain parts of that, maybe along Collingwood, might be called the Museum District at some point mm-hmm. for that vision. I made that up, but it makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know, and so the museum, obviously the, you know, leader there is extremely visionary mm-hmm. in his thoughts. You know, always thinking long view, big picture, and Museum Place, my direct supervisor, actually Adam Levine, was kind of the lead on that project, and they actually did acquire the property, and it was a very smooth transition. They're actually in the process right now of doing community meetings to get community input on how that property should be used. And so they recently released the master plan information, which is basically showing the community, here's what our vision is for the museum. And with the adequate support for the museum, here's what your museum could look like. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it would be so incredible. I don't even think people can even visually grasp how beautiful the museum will be when it's completed. Because, I mean, it's beautiful now, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are some things that, you know, it's over 100 years old. So mm-hmm. 100 years ago, things were different. People were different. People got to the museum different ways, you know. And so just to be able to renovate in a way that it maintains that character and the historic culture, because the, you know, things will still be there and it will still be the familiar museum, but then it'll be that extra part that's just so dynamic and so much like what you find in the larger cities. It's just going to be off the it's going to be off the hook.
I'm looking forward to it. Again, maybe one day, steal the name if you want.
The Museum District.
Yeah, because what we're talking about is like along Monroe Street, the museum is working on some properties. Mm-hmm. ProMedica will be involved as well. So the tentacles of the museum, and I say that in a complimentary way, will spread out a little mm-hmm. bit farther and enrich that area even more. I've always said, you know, if and when I get a house here, I owe it to myself to at least live in the old West End for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe I won't, but I love those houses.
They're beautiful.
That whole area there.
And the neighborhood is so fun. They do fun stuff as a neighborhood. Like
Old West End Festival.
Old West End Festival, but then they have all these. I'm always like jealous when I hear about the neighborhood, you know, like meetups, like somebody will host like, you know, a cocktail and hors d'oeuvre hour, like at their home, you know, for their neighbors or whatever. They just do a lot of fun stuff and they're really serious about their community, serious about the community's safety, serious about, you know, making sure that everybody feels safe and secure and included in the community. It's a really nice, I like the way that they operate over there.
Let's get personal. I had a small goal to make you cry during this. You sent Trey away to school to Atlanta. What school is he going to?
He goes to Morehouse College.
Goes to Morehouse College. Okay. So how have you done since Trey has been away at school?
Well, it ebbs and flows.
Where's my baby at?
No, but you know what? It was very, very, I will not lie, and especially if anybody's listening to this that has like a senior in high school, I will not lie. Like the first maybe month, it was difficult. Mm-hmm. I really struggled. Like I said, I was a single mom with him for 8 years, and then I got married. And then right after I got married, I had another child. So it was him and I for just so long. So our relationship is very close. And I'm used to him being at home, you know? And so not only did he not want to go to school locally, he wanted to go 3 states and 600 miles away. Then in the mix of all that, he turned 18. And so he was at this I'm grown
right.
phase. So he really kind of like didn't really want to talk to me.
Hang out with mom anymore.
No, he wasn't wanting me to text him. Yeah. And he wanted to know why I was responding to his snaps and like telling me my Snapchat etiquette. You know, like I was just, I don't have to respond. And I was like looking at the story like, oh, that looks fun. And he's like, mom.
Right. You're killing my game.
So I had to back off all of the ways I was accustomed to communicating with him. And over time, motherhood has just changed for me. I'm still there for him, and now we're more on his terms, which is unique for me because part of my mothering style had been a little helicoptery. I'll own that, and it still is for my daughter. But when I had to go there, we took him. He went to a summer program, which was okay because I knew he was going to be coming back. But when we took him for good, it was emotional time just because of the way that they facilitate new student orientation is set up to be very powerful and meaningful, but also set up for you to let go. And when I came back about a month and a half later for a conference for work, and I was around him and just really noticed how much he had grown, how much he had adapted to the city. He had friends and he just really had grown up, I think, in just a little bit of time. I felt more comfortable about him being there because I know I sent him off. He wasn't as mature as I wanted him to be going away from college. But I mean, he's 18, so I'm sure he wasn't the only one.
Right.
But once I got a chance to go back and see how he had grown and he was okay, then I could back off. So we've been good.
Good.
We've been good.
Is he thriving as you'd hoped? I know we talked about that he wants to produce music and he hooked up with somebody already.
He wants to produce music, and that is kind of like our, I guess, deal, if you will. As long as you focus on school and do what you need to do academically for our investment, like don't have us like funding your opportunity to be in Atlanta so you can do this other thing. If you can find balance, you can work on your music, but also get your education because, you know, the music industry is not, that's not a guarantee. Like if you do this, this, and this, you get in.
Right.
So at least if you have a degree, you have something that can help you pay, you know, get a job and you can pay for whatever it is that you're seeking to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always compare him to Kanye. I'm like, well, what if you, you know, you love Kanye. What if you like Kanye? He didn't really blow up till he was like 26.
Right.
So what are you going to do from like now till 26?
Mm-hmm.
You need to figure it out. So first semester, I can't say it was like his absolute best, but it was certainly not his worst.
It's always rocky.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of standard. I mean, how was your first semester of college?
It wasn't awful, but it definitely wasn't like how it ended up. I can tell you that.
Right.
But he didn't, you know, he got his credits and, you know, all of that. But this semester, I can tell he went in with a more level head and a more focused head. Because I think, too, he's acclimated now.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he needs to do.
So
I'm proud of him.
You got to own your business. Good. Well, I expect nothing less.
Yeah.
There's something else I wanted to ask you, but I forget what it was. As we get close to wrapping up here, so we have what was the website one more time?
Candied Culture. And like I said, Instagram, I'm on there. And then the link to how to get to the website is there. Also a Facebook profile.
This is amazing. Like I said, you are so well connected. Do you ever want to run for office or anything?
People ask me that all the time. And, you know, I have definitely thought about it. And I can't say it's all the way off the table, but when I think about having a 9-year-old, I just want to make sure, again, that I'm not letting my personal pursuits pull away from what I'm doing at home.
Right. And you are so well connected, and you have so much influence that you can still influence good and progress and momentum not being in office. And
Thank you. You
can. And I always... It's tough to be a politician. You got to have a certain skin.
You got
to be cut from a certain cloth, whether it's the president or city council. You might want to do things that you don't necessarily agree with to get things done, and I don't see you compromising yourself in that way.
Yeah, and I can't. I really can't, and so that's part of it. And also, I'm so passionate about the things that I believe in.
Right.
So that could either be harmful. It could be harmful or it could be good, I guess.
Mm-hmm. since it's like we talked about it on the show, it's a big topic all around, and I'm fascinated to watch the narrative build over the weekend. You have any Black Panther thoughts?
Well, you know, we're going to see it today.
Okay.
And so I can be totally honest with you and say that I have really found a lot of joy in going through my news feed on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and just seeing the pride of people who are of color in this film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing the pride, seeing the people like Kendrick Lamar buying out movie theaters to make sure that, you know, kids from the projects can get a chance to see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
T.I. is doing the same thing in Atlanta. So it's like making the music industry, people who have the money to support those kinds of things, making sure that people who can't go see it can go see it. The soundtrack is off the hook. I love it.
It is.
So I'm loving all of the positive depictions of the actors and the community. I'm even loving the cosplay. So it's been refreshing. So I'm excited to see it today.
Yeah, I just saw something before we started this up that it was originally projected to make like $180 million. And now I guess studio people are thinking over 200, which is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, we'll take 190. We'll take 190. It's something. And if you didn't know, Candace is African-American. So I wanted your thoughts on that because, I mean, for me, it's hard to process because it's just another Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful cast, but as a white person, I can't go. I mean, I don't care who it is, but I know that there are people of color who are like, this is awesome, like mm-hmm. a great cast, and it's almost like too good in some ways. I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to taint or color your idea of the movie, but it is great for it to mm-hmm. be happening because I've. Like you, I have friends of different colors, different backgrounds, and all mm-hmm. this stuff. And I don't want, like, and I'm happy when cinema, TV, whatever, mm-hmm. representation, like, I want things to reflect as things actually are
yes.
and not over in the sense. But, I mean, also, it makes no sense for, like, Black Panther is an Avenger. He's always been an Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. It's like not having Thor in the Avengers. So I'm glad that it's come at this time and it seems right. And I hope you enjoy the movie.
I hope so too. And like I said, it's one of those things, if you think about the past in movies that had a predominantly Black cast, like what kinds of movies those were. They weren't necessarily positive depictions.
Slavery movies.
Slavery, Boys in the Hood, Menace
yeah.
to Society. And I mean, those are movies that, you know, are definitely classics,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they're movies that don't tell the whole picture. And it doesn't, you know, you look at that and say, what do I, you know, the superhero.
Right.
Every small kid, male or female, looks at superheroes as, you know, kind of like up here. So that's the part of it that I really, really enjoy, that for a change, there's this African-American male of color. He's brown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, from what I've read, it sounds like the women are kind of taking the position of, you know, defense for him. Or
yeah.
So I'm just looking forward to it. It's an exciting time.
It
to
is.
Me, it's just an exciting time to be alive, period,
mm-hmm.
in the words of Drake.
Yeah, for as much as we all, like, turn on our news feeds and it's the world is ending.
Right.
I try to admit my arguments on social media sometimes. I try to remind people or leave with, the world is as good a place as it's ever been. It is not as dangerous as people would tell you. It is a great time to be alive.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely some things to complain about, but there are so many more great things to focus on.
Do you know Imani Latif?
I do.
Okay, I had Imani in a couple weeks ago, and I went to his Glass City Black Comics Fest last week,
mm-hmm.
and one of the panels had a couple of creators, and one of the creators was from Philadelphia, so that rung my ears because that's home, and I chatted with
mm-hmm.
him, and I was like, you know, you missed the parade being here. He's like, oh, it's cool. I'm happy to be here. But he mentioned something that was a great reminder for me, and he said, you know, it feels like we wake up every morning, and the first thing is, what can we be mad at? And I was like, yes. Get that out of your head. Instead of that, like, what can I be excited about today? And there really is a lot. There really is a lot.
That is so true. Or what is it that you're not going to solve, like, right now? So you
right.
can go, because sometimes I get myself, like, into these, like, debates, especially related to politics. And mm-hmm. then I start thinking, like, this is solving nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing nothing but working me up for no reason. So
right.
I'm just going to turn the notifications off.
Yep. Like, it's a nice outlet, but you got to know when to cut yourself off.
Yeah, because it's just not even necessary.
Like, during all the anthem nonsense when it was happening in October,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was angry at myself because I got too worked up over nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a painful lesson that I had to learn to go, look, these are opinions I have, things that I'm strong about. I have a lot of conviction. There are some people who are clearly very wrong, and I enjoy telling them that, but you got to shut it down because it's personally harmful.
And sometimes when it's clear that they don't understand, mm-hmm. and they're not trying to understand, mm-hmm. then that's a good time to cut it off because it is nothing there but to debate.
Yep. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Candace Harrison, Candied Culture, all the other endeavors that you have.
Yeah, work, and volunteer. Yeah, and that was only, like, I touched the surface of what I do. It's still, like, three organizations I didn't even mention.
Like I said, we did not even talk about what pays the bills. So if you see someone out and you come across Candace, don't be surprised because you're everywhere. Well, I'll ask one last person who I met just about a week or so ago who I would think that you know. Do you know John Jones?
Yes, I know John Jones. He is also a member of African American Leadership Council. So I get to work with him to drive that work along.
My friend Stacey Harper, do you know her? She works at ProMedica.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so Stacey's a friend of mine who I've connected with, and she's been trying to help me find something, and I'd like to do more speaking engagements, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and talk about my
you
mental
should.
Health stuff.
You should. You and have a very important story.
She's like, I got to have you meet John Jones. I'm like, okay. So I met John, and he oversees, like, the Speakers Bureau for ProMedica.
Just choose wisely.
What's that?
Do you follow him on Twitter? Choose wisely.
I don't. I will. Yeah. I didn't even know.
He's on Twitter.
Showed up to lunch, and we got to talking, and I'm like, how, with all the people and circles that we run in, have we not? It was like we were both shocked that we had both not run into one another.
Yeah.
Good dude. I was so happy to meet him.
And he's probably, he's more connected. He's on more stuff than I am.
I think I did ask him. I was like, because he's got a couple of girls, mm-hmm. teenagers. Yeah. I was like, how do you do all this? And you're so, like, you're an innovator of thought, and you're a dad. And wait a second, how? I'm like, you don't look 43 either, or whatever he was.
Yeah, it's I think that it is equally important. Like, you're raising a family, and taking care of home is always first.
Yep.
And I say that all the time. And when I say home, I mean my kids, but also making sure that my husband, you know, is also taken care of. But when you think of, it's equally as important to have a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's a saying out there, and I don't want to murder it.
No, go ahead. We'll give
it a shot. I think that the saying goes, and I've heard a few people say, if you don't have a seat at the table, then you're going to be dinner, kind of thing. So you want to make sure that you want to make sure that you're there. You're there to add value, to add opinion, to add influence. Otherwise, you're going to be omitted from the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's equally as important to have a place in the community as it is to take care of my home.
Yeah.
Because I'm setting the tone for what my children will see and what the world will look like when they become adults.
I don't take for granted, and I feel very fortunate to have moved here when I did.
And it's have a seat at the table, or you're going to be on the menu. That's what it is.
The dinner line works, too. The dinner line works, too. When I got here in 2013, it wasn't me. I don't think I was the catalyst. But the shift had begun,
mm-hmm.
and people who even live here, who are not part of the things, like a lot of that we discussed, I think at the very least, they have stopped disparaging in any way. Like, I remember when I first got here, there was a lot of, I don't want to go downtown to Toledo. It's like when I first moved to Detroit, like, mm-hmm. long time ago. Oh, we don't go to downtown Detroit. Well, now everybody goes to downtown, mm-hmm. Detroit. 5 years ago when I was here, oh, I don't want to go downtown to Toledo. I'll get shot. No, you won't.
I never understood that.
It's just like an ignorant. It's just an ignorant mindset or an uninformed mindset. But I don't hear that anymore. I do not. And I live downtown, and you're downtown, and you see it. And you want to be downtown now.
I do. Right. And I enjoy it. And I enjoy saying I'm downtown. And I enjoy telling people when they come here from out of town, let's eat downtown. You know, because to me, for it to stay vibrant, we have to support what's there.
I do tell people that are our age, the over 30 crowd.
I'm older than over 30, but
I know. But I figured over 30 was safe for both of us. I do tell them, like, when people ask me, like, where should I go? I'm like, well, the over 30 side is like St. Clair, and the 30 and under side is like I forget this. I'm bad with the street.
Adam Street.
No, oh. Adam Street's everything.
That's what I thought.
No, it's like Tin Can, Cock and Bull, Blarney,
yes,
Table 44.
That's Huron.
When I drove past. Watching Tin Can be open one night, I was like, oh, wait a second. They're playing beer pong and Jenga.
Yeah.
I haven't been there, and I'm not disparaging it, but like that's the younger side, and I stayed at the older side, but it's all fun.
There too, and it's interesting, and it definitely was not my age group. I can say that for sure. I got invited to something that was there and then ran into some other, actually Alex, it was his birthday, and I ran into him, but it was also my friend's birthday, who they both ended up there, which is interesting because she was celebrating a much different birthday than he was celebrating.
Right. This was like 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Because he asked me to come out.
So we went in there, but no, it's an interesting place. And you are correct with that stretch of Adams. I mean, not Adams, of Huron and downtown is very different than St. Clair.
Yep.
You can find me on St. Clair most of the time. And I like Mutt's. Mutt's is definitely a place.
We talked about that. I love that place. And just a heads up, I went there last Saturday night, and they have a new menu, or a more expansive menu. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they have more drinks or different beers to offer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Pretty impressed.
Yeah, fake juice now.
That whole building.
I'm stuck on that one.
What is it?
Fake juice.
What's that?
I think it's an IPA that they've created.
Like fake news, but fake juice?
I don't know if that's where it came from, but I bet you it has some connection.
Okay.
I don't want to speak, out of turn because I don't know what the, rationale, but it's a good beer.
Last place. I haven't been to what's Sandy's place? Is it
Plate One? I haven't been in there. I've gone by, but I haven't been in there.
It's where Big B used to be, mm-hmm. across from PJ's downtown.
And it's in the same building as the water department, right? Public utilities. I think you can, if you wanted to walk in and pay your water bill, you can get to it from the front side of that same building.
I just always knew it as Big B.
Mm-hmm. And this Big B has a door into the building that it's connected to.
I got to get over there. I was supposed to meet Meldon over there yesterday because I had a question for him. Do you know about Code City?
I do. I've seen that.
Of course you do.
But I haven't been, I'm not in it. And I actually haven't been to one because when they hold them, it kind of cuts into another meeting that I attend. So I haven't had a chance to go. But I am familiar with it.
I want to get in there to promote soup a little bit because mm-hmm. Soup is.
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to get in there and ask, I guess Nate is the guy who runs it. I'm going to ask him if we can get a couple of minutes so that we can solicit for more mm-hmm. idea submissions. And I was supposed to meet Meldon because I was like, hey, what coffee shop can I find you at the next 24 hours?
He's
like, Sandy's place. And I forgot to go. But I will get over there. Thank you again.
Thank you.
We'll do it soon.
Yeah, tell them this. I appreciate the opportunity.
Please, sure. I know we're both... For me not having a job, I'm super busy.
Yeah.
But we cross paths. Mm-hmm. But like I said, one of the best things about not having a job has been I've been able to do this with people and mm-hmm. talk to people and connect with people as opposed to, somehow you make it work better than anyone I've ever met. you got to invest yourself in your job these days, especially if you really enjoy it. And unfortunately, it takes away from being able to invest yourself with other invaluable people.
Right.
And it's a time management thing. Mm-hmm. It's tough, and you mastered it, so thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Aaliyah. Bye, Aaliyah.
Bye, Aaliyah.